During the depths of the Great Depression, millions stood in bread lines while factories sat idle and warehouses overflowed with unsold goods. This paradox, poverty amid plenty, defied everything economists thought they understood. Then came a book that would change everything. John Maynard Keynes, a Cambridge economist who had spent decades defending classical economic theory, published a work that would demolish the very foundations he once championed. His message was radical. Markets don't fix themselves, unemployment isn't a choice, and sometimes economies need a push. For generations, economists believed in a beautiful, self-correcting system where workers received wages matching their productivity, anyone willing to work could find employment, and production automatically created enough purchasing power to buy everything produced. It was elegant, logical, and completely wrong. Classical theory painted unemployment as either temporary friction between jobs or voluntary refusal to accept appropriate wages, insisting the economy would naturally swing back to full employment like a pendulum. Today, when governments debate stimulus packages or central banks adjust interest rates, they're wrestling with ideas Keynes introduced nearly a century ago. Keynes identified what classical economists missed. Workers negotiate money wages, not purchasing power. When they resist wage cuts but accept inflation-reducing real earnings, they're not irrational. They understand relative position matters more than absolute numbers. A general wage reduction would simply reduce overall demand without creating jobs. This led to Keynes's concept of involuntary unemployment, where both workers and employers would benefit from increased activity, yet markets fail to deliver it. Classical economists assumed production automatically generated purchasing power. Supply creates its own demand. Keynes showed this was wishful thinking. His crucial insight: as people earn more, they don't spend proportionally more. Someone earning $30,000 might spend $27,000. Someone earning $300,000 might spend only $150,000. This growing gap must be filled by investment, building factories, infrastructure, new enterprises. When investment falls short, the economy settles into equilibrium below full employment. This paradox of thrift was starkly visible during the Depression, when functional factories produced nothing because demand had evaporated. Keynes identified a fundamental psychological law. People increase spending as income rises, but not proportionally. A $1,000 raise might yield $700 in spending, $300 in savings. This marginal propensity to consume creates gaps that investment must fill. But investment rests on shakier ground. Manufacturers building factories bet on future demand with limited evidence, decisions driven less by calculation than animal spirits, gut instinct, and spontaneous optimism. During booms, confidence drives growth. During downturns, pessimism creates negative feedback loops. Keynes's multiplier concept showed how initial spending creates waves of economic activity. When government builds a bridge employing construction workers, wages get spent at restaurants and shops, which hire more staff who likewise spend. A $10 million infrastructure project might directly employ 100 workers, but create 1,000 jobs economy-wide. The multiplier size depends on spending versus saving. If people spend 9/10 of additional income, the multiplier is 10. Public works create 10 times their primary employment. During uncertain times, when people save more, the multiplier weakens precisely when needed most. This revolutionized recession thinking, showing public works generate far more employment than direct hiring alone. Classical economists viewed interest as the price balancing investment with saving, the reward for deferred consumption. This implied saving automatically lowers rates, stimulating equal investment without intervention. Keynes disagreed. Interest rates reflect liquidity preference, the public's desire to hold cash rather than other assets. Interest rewards parting with liquidity, not saving itself. Hoarded cash earns nothing despite representing saving, proving interest cannot merely compensate for deferred consumption. This explains why rates might not fall enough to stimulate investment during recessions. If people expect rates to rise, meaning bond prices will fall, they prefer holding cash despite low current returns. This liquidity trap prevents rates from restoring full employment regardless of central bank money creation. Money's unique properties, zero elasticity of production, zero elasticity of substitution, and negligible carrying costs, create a bottomless sink for purchasing power. When money demand increases during uncertainty, it doesn't stimulate production or employment like demand for other goods, it simply raises interest rates, choking off investment. The very characteristic valued in monetary standards, inelasticity of supply, is precisely the characteristic which is at the bottom of the trouble. Money's stable value, attractive as a store of wealth, can paralyze investment and spending. Keynes's theory shows economic cycles stem from swings in expected investment returns. During booms, optimistic expectations justify continued investment despite growing capital abundance. When disillusion strikes, it falls with catastrophic force. Liquidity preference surges, interest rates spike, and recovery stalls. Booms don't feature genuine overinvestment, but rather investment based on expectations destined for disappointment, creating unemployment in a world paradoxically short of housing, yet unable to afford existing homes. This leads to a counterintuitive prescription. The remedy for the boom is not a higher rate of interest, but a lower one. Rather than maintaining semi-slump, abolish slumps to sustain quasi-boom conditions. Keynes identified two major flaws in contemporary economics: failure to provide full employment and arbitrary wealth distribution. He advocated somewhat comprehensive socialization of investment to secure full employment, but emphasized this didn't require state socialism. Government need only determine aggregate capital investment, not assume production ownership. His proposed expansion aimed to preserve individual initiative, impossible when deficient demand makes enterprise a losing game. Keynes concluded with a profound observation. The ideas of economists and political philosophers, both when they are right and when they are wrong, are more powerful than is commonly understood. Indeed, the world is ruled by little else. History validated this prediction. After World War II, governments throughout the developed world adopted Keynesian policies, actively managing demand to maintain full employment. The result was the Golden Age of Capitalism, 1945 to 1973, sustained growth, low unemployment, and moderate inflation. Though challenged during 1970s stagflation, Keynesian insights remain influential. During the 2008 financial crisis and COVID-19 pandemic, governments worldwide implemented massive stimulus programs straight from the Keynesian playbook. The general theory's lasting achievement was demonstrating that market economies don't self-regulate at full employment. Sometimes they need deliberate intervention. By identifying effective demand as the key determinant of employment and output, Keynes provided both theoretical framework and practical tools for managing modern economies. Today's debates about stimulus spending, infrastructure investment, and central bank intervention reflect his legacy, establishing government responsibility for economic stability and fundamentally changing how we understand economic systems. Keynes's central insight: markets are powerful tools, not magic. Sometimes collective action through democratic institutions is necessary. He argued economic history took a wrong turn when Ricardo's ideas triumphed over Malthus's warnings about insufficient demand. This celebrated optimism assumed difficulties away rather than addressing them. Markets might eventually self-correct, Keynes quipped, but in the long run, we are all dead. Governments couldn't wait for theoretical equilibrium while millions suffered. His framework revealed what appears irrational individually, government deficit spending during recessions makes perfect sense collectively. The same psychological factors driving individuals to save during uncertain times create conditions that make collective prosperity impossible without intervention. This paradox explains why purely market-based solutions fail during severe downturns, and why Keynes's insights continue shaping economic policy debates nearly a century later.